Today on Real Radio.
This false prophet will bring about the doctrines of Catholicism, the doctrines of Christianity, they're different. The doctrines of the Baha'i and the doctrines of the Mormons, those are different. He'll bring all of them together. Islam, he's going to tie them together under one conglomerate of religious activity approved of by the Antichrist and conducted and presided over by this man, the false prophet. You see, that's ridiculous. You want to bet? I am not saying the Pope is the false prophet. But if you go to the Vatican, if you go to the Pope's website, if you go to Roman Catholicism, and you see what their goal is and their agenda is to bring, the Pope has said it himself, to bring all faiths together.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We're in chapter 13, which is the passage in Scripture that really tells about the Antichrist and his role in the last days. Many things in the world qualify as Antichrist, but this is about the Antichrist, capital A. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his presentation called The False Prophet of the Last Days.
Whenever there's a work of God, you can always expect wolves to be around sheep. And they visit here. Did you know that? There may be a wolf here today. There seems in a crowd like this church gathers in this area, there's always a wolf or two. And we find them sometimes. God is good to point them out. How do we know? Well, one of the ways that we have found wolves in the past is when someone accepts the Lord, they wait, they watch, they mark their clothes. Oh, that's the guy in the red shirts. And they wait. They look just like you and I. And then they wait for the guy to leave and head to his car. And then they swoop in and they say, well, you know what they forgot to tell you? They forgot to tell you that about this. And why don't you, here's my phone number and I'll pick you up next week and I'll take you to our little cult church. Happens all the time. Wolves. And they come, the Bible says, with damnable doctrines and doctrines of demons, heresies. Very dangerous. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the last days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's happening right now. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. People are leaving Christianity. Personally, I believe that they were never born again or saved to begin with. But they're giving up on Christianity, and I hear it because they tell me things like this. I know what I'm doing is not in line with the Bible, but you don't understand. When this guy speaks, it's pretty amazing. And I'm just drawn to him. I can't explain it. Yeah, what he teaches is not exactly found in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, run! Wolf! Get out of there! That's why I like in my job, in my calling, I've often said, Jesus is the chief shepherd. Now, I know that some pastors get all excited about, well, I'm a shepherd. Well, technically, okay, bishop, pastor, shepherd. All right. You could argue that wording. I constantly remind the Lord, though, he's the chief shepherd of this flock, thus making me a sheepdog. I would rather be a sheepdog and have him be the shepherd. And that's kind of my nature anyway. To be more dog-like, I guess. But anyway, not only this, but he'll be a deceiver. He'll also be one who's an imposter. An imposter when it comes to worship. A moment ago, you were worshiping, and loudly, by the way, which is beautiful. I hope it put a dent in hell this morning. I hope they were awoken to the sound of your worship and the intensity of your heart to worship God. It wasn't just all in the loud amplification. I pray your heart was true to that you worship him in spirit and in truth. Satan hates that. And we talked last week how the Antichrist is going to want to mimic and copy that. Well, the false prophet is going to bring this onto the scene in verse 12. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. Verse 12 says, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. In his presence. They're working in stereo. Here you've got the Antichrist. He's doing all these tremendous political deeds. We remember Daniel chapter 8 told us that he would deceive the world by prosperity and by peace. You're going to hear a lot about that in this coming week's debate. I'm not saying either one of these guys are the Antichrist or the false prophet. The Antichrist and the false prophet will be global geniuses empowered by Satan. I believe by the time the Antichrist comes on the scene, there will not be a power in the world known as the United States of America. America will be neutralized somehow for this man to come on the world scene, for Europe to be the focal point, the center of power and the center of commerce as it's well heading. But this man will come, and by the way, note this, it says that while he's in the presence of the Antichrist, this false prophet will bring the world to accolades of this man. And I want you to jot it down. In chapters 12 and 13, who have we been introduced to? Three key players that form an unholy trinity. Satan plays the role of the father. And he is the father, isn't he? Of all lies, Satan is. Satan plays the role of the father. The Bible tells us the dragon. He's got a son called the son of perdition. Who's this? None other than the Antichrist, the one who promises to usher in a kingdom. As he copycats Jesus Christ, he promises to bring in a utopia. You've got the father, Satan, you've got the son, Antichrist, and then you've got the false prophet, the religious leader of religious matters, as he mimics the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. You have an unholy trinity. And that shouldn't shock any of us. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, Paul even shared this concern when he says, I fear lest somehow the serpent, having deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may also be corrupt by this from the simplicity that's in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, 2 Corinthians 11:13 goes on to say, for such, these that bring in this doctrine to deceive, for such are false apostles. Did you know that there can be a false apostle? Paul says there can be. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And you are not going to know who they are unless you know the Bible. They don't knock on the door and there's like a satanic claw sticking out of their neck that they keep tucking under their collar. When they turn and walk away, they don't have a tail swinging out between their suit. They're deceivers. And they say exactly what you and I say. We're born again too. Oh, we believe in Jesus too. We believe in the Bible too. They're deceivers. He says, no such wonder to us, because Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. There is therefore no great thing that his ministers also have the ability to transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Imposters. You and I are living in an age like never before. There are so many ways to God. Did you know, on our last trip to Israel, we stayed in a hotel in Haifa that overlooked the tremendous, beautiful gardens of the Baha'i faith. And there, their leader is buried. And you know those who adhere to the Baha'i faith in Haifa and around the world? In his tomb there, they're waiting for him to be resurrected. I didn't know that till we got there. And that's their gospel. He's going to be resurrected, and he's going to lead the world to utopia. He's going to bring religion and politics together as one. He will be the Messiah of the world. I'm going to ask you to jot this down. My search, I started in looking at this at the UN, and then it led me to the Club of Rome. You can go to Google and search this out. It led me to the Crown Prince of the Kingdom of Jordan. So who's that? I can't pronounce his name if I could, but anyway, if I would try. But he is the president of the World Conference for Religion and Peace. What does it say? This is current. It says the World Conference for Religion and Peace in Kyoto, Japan met October 16th to the 21st in 1970. The conference was the culmination of 9 years of preparation, which began in 1961, when a handful of senior religious leaders from the world's major religions gathered together in an international exploratory mission to concretely promote the idea of sponsoring a global religious summit to address the need for actions that would bring about a world peace through religion. Sounds like you're reading Revelation 13. Thus came forth the vision of a world congress of religious leaders whose goal would be for peace. Building on that great hope, over 1,000 leaders from every continent of the earth, in the company of their political counterparts, many of them, convened themselves in the first such multi-religious summit. Religious communities were represented by the support in the conference by the Baha'is, Buddhist, the Orthodox, Protestants, Catholic, Christian, Confucianism, Hinduism, Jainism, Judaism, Shintoism, Zoroastrianism, and Islam. As they gathered together, the first World Conference on Religion and Peace concluded with this resolution, quote, "The work intended by Kyoto Agreement on this conference should be to continue the form of a global inter-religious body called the World Conference for Religious and Peace, of which the World Council of Churches had become a member of." What's their goal? Bring about a one world worship system, taking all the faiths together and neutering them of their individuality and causing them to be one in its very existence. This false prophet will bring about the doctrines of Catholicism, the doctrines of Christianity, they're different, the doctrines of the Baha'i and the doctrines of the Mormons, those are different. He'll bring all of them together. Islam, he's going to tie them together under one conglomerate of religious activity approved of by the Antichrist and conducted and presided over by this man, the false prophet. You see, that's ridiculous. You want to bet? I am not saying the Pope is the false prophet. But if you go to the Vatican, if you go to the Pope's website, if you go to Roman Catholicism, and you see what their goal is and their agenda is to bring, the Pope has said it himself, to bring all faiths together. The Pope has even announced, this current Pope has announced that evolution's true. That's not true. But the Pope's not a scientist, so he wouldn't know that evolution's not true. But he's attempting to bring people together. You say, well, what's wrong with that? It's exactly what the Antichrist will do, and it's all going to come down to a very certain identity. Before we leave verses 12 to 13, he'll be an agent of evil. Daniel 8:25 says, "And through his policy he shall cause craft to prosper." By the way, some of the newer translations say, "And through his policy he shall deceive many by prosperity and shall magnify himself in his own heart and through peace destroy many." That's the cry of the world today. Give me prosperity and give me peace. And it's a noble cry, but how it's achieved is quite a different thing. How many of you have been to New York? Anybody? You been in New York City? Have you ever been to the UN? If you go out in front of the UN, there's a plaque there. And in front of the UN, by the way, listen carefully, I'm going to give you Isaiah 2, verse 4, kind of. This is what the UN says. And you're going to say, well, what's wrong with that? And Isaiah 2, 4, it says, or I should say, in front of the UN, it says, "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." There's no problem with that verse. That's a great verse. The only problem is the UN selected to only quote the last half of the verse. Because the first half of the verse is an insult to the agenda of the UN. The first half of Isaiah 2:4 says, "God shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Do you know what that's a reference and a promise to? The coming of Christ. The coming of Jesus to earth when he establishes his kingdom. It's Christ in Matthew 25 that will judge the world. But the UN thinks they are God in a sense. They are it. Now, you say, well, you know, don't you think the UN is a good thing? I think it's an insane thing. I think the UN is a demonic entity. I really do. Go look at how they vote. Will you take the time to go do that?
See, Pastor, I didn't like what you said.
Well, then do something about it. Go online and look how they vote. Listen. In Israel, when we're on the tour, it's quite fun, especially if you're a taxpayer. On the tours, a tour guide or a bus driver will say, to the American bus specifically, because we pay more for the UN than anybody else in the world. They'll say, hey, watch, here comes your tax dollars at work, watch. And here comes a white Toyota with UN painted on it, and guys sitting in there with blue helmets. And as they drive by, they'll tell you, in Israel, you know what UN means? And it's like, of course we know. We fund the thing. It's in New York. We know what it means. They say, no, it doesn't mean United Nations. It means United Nothing. And it's true. Can you imagine being a German soldier under UN command? A German soldier. You've got your German helmet. It's camouflaged. And you've got your German rifle. It has bullets in it. When you go, do you ever see those people on the news? They're driving around in the little white Toyota with a blue helmet. They're getting shot at. Why? Because they've got a blue helmet on. Now, if you're going to go to war, do you think you're going to wear a blue helmet? It's like, shoot me. You say, well, I like blue. Not in war. You don't want blue. They got a blue helmet on and a rifle with rubber bullets. The United Nothing. Amazing. The UN says, nations shall take their swords and beat them into plowshares. That they don't want to think about the God who said it. He said, I'm going to judge it all. Very interesting. Remember this, my friend. We're living in an age that is filled with demonic agents and institutions that are anti-God's agenda, anti-God's word. Point number two to our study of the false prophet of the last days. We see in verses 13 to 15 the deception of the false prophet. It is the deception now of the false prophet. Listen, it will be irresistible to an unbelieving world. It will be irresistible. It says in verse 13, he performs great signs, that's wonders or miracles, so that he even makes fire to come down out of heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now jot this down. This must be the big miracle. Bringing fire down out of heaven, that's a biggie. You got to admit, that's a big deal. The reason why I think it's a big deal and why it's mentioned here in the scripture is because when you look at scripture, for example, when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened? Fire came down out of heaven. You think the unbelieving demonic realm has forgotten that? Not at all. So this man's going to mimic in deception this act. You say, how can he do that? Ah, I'm glad you asked the question. Not all miracles are of God. You got to be kidding me. I am not kidding you. When Moses performed his miracles, what did Pharaoh's magicians and witches do? Same thing. Over and over again. When you study the pagan religions of ancient history, miracles. By the way, just because a miracle's done doesn't mean that it's from God. You've got to search out the message and align the message in association with the miracle, and align who gets the glory in association with the miracle with the Bible, Acts 17:11 says. Test it against the Bible. Now watch this. This will strike home to you right now. If your child is sick, I'm thinking of the most tender thing that could come to a parent's heart is that your child is deathly ill. And somebody tells you, you should go over here. This guy, he doesn't preach the Bible, but he's incredibly dynamic. He's so exciting. His doctrine's a little off. But you know what? He's healing people. What are you tempted to do? If you don't know your Bible, you are going to put that kid in your car and go find this man. And he heals your child in the name of Fred Flintstone. You take your child up, and he says, in the name of friends, Fred Flintstone, yabba dabba doo, and your son stands up. What are you going to do? Out of appreciation, shock, excitement, and awe of the miracle, you will follow this man, even though his doctrine is aberrant, bogus. This will happen to every one of you if your faith is not founded upon the Bible, but it is an emotionally based faith. If you have a faith that is based upon Scripture, judging everything that happens against the Bible, even if it's in front of your eyes, listen, seeing is not believing. If you believe God, that's truly seeing, and you can negotiate such pitfalls. You see, we live in an age, you're going to hear more and more about miraculous healing. Some of them will be absolutely true. Some of them are staged. True story. I can't give you details. I could probably get sued.
I'll tell you this.
The guy's name is... Oh, I'm joking. We'll have to edit that part. Is it working? Can you hear me? Is this... What are we using? This? Okay. The Israeli government dispatched some undercover guys because they'd heard some things about tours in Israel. This particular man comes from the United States with 1,000 people at a time. Can you imagine? 1,000 people. And so the Israeli government put these spies in amongst at these sites. And what happened was, this guy arrives in his limo, which everybody thought was awesome. And the service he teaches, and then he says, now we're going to have a healing service here at this site. And he begins to do his thing, and people were healed. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Then everybody gets on the bus, and they move on, okay? And then the next bus comes, because you can't get everybody in the same site. The only problem is, it was the same people healed again at each visit by the buses, same people healed of the same thing over and over again. And you know what? The probability of you watching this shyster on TV is very high. He's probably the most lucrative crook on Christian TV today. And he's a crook.
False prophets, false teachers, plenty to go around. Truly one of the valuable lessons learned as we look at Revelation chapter 13. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called The False Prophet of the Last Days, speaking of the Antichrist, we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio with the conclusion of this presentation taken from verses 11 through 18. In fact, we encourage you to make Real Radio part of your daily regimen. Lately, we've been making you an offer that'll help equip you in addition to listening to Real Radio. It's a book called Set Apart by R. Kent Hughes. Now, because of the response we've been receiving lately on this book, we're going to extend it just a few more days. So, for your contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send it out to you right away. Set Apart, one of the few works recommended by Pastor Jack, it's a revelation of how the lifestyles of professing believers is progressively becoming no different than that of the unbelieving world. Now, the good news is that it doesn't have to stay that way. And the book points out how this can all be turned around. In addition to Set Apart, we'll include Jack Hibbs' audio presentation, Can a Nation Rise Again? Learn the 12 things that must first happen for a nation to rise again. Now, this is all for a contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Of course, when you contribute, please remember the costs involved in bringing you this daily broadcast. Here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our address once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is easy, 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. And of course, you can always pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your financial participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.